Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Jay Gregnani.
It's June 18th, 2018, and here we are in the summer doldrums, kind of.
Yeah, it is. Dog days of summer are here. Almost 100 degrees today in Richmond. Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, man. You too.
Thank you. It's always interesting this time of year because even, you know, especially right now in the market, you know, the past couple of weeks, there hasn't been a whole lot going on. You know, you continue to see strength in U.S. equities from a macro dolly perspective. You continue to see technology. And, you know, it's, you know, for lack of a better word, a whole lot of more of the same going on in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And so, you know, before we go any farther, though, what do you do? What are you doing right now in your portfolio when there's just a whole lot of the more of the same going on in the market?
You want to know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
After I just had a poke bowl for lunch.
We are recording this a little bit later. That we should,
yeah,
we should mention that.
We should,
yeah.
Should do this before lunch. I had my first poke bowl.
Yeah.
That's good.
They're good. I mean,
they're really good. They're really good. Lots of rice. High cost. Some vegetables.
Some tuna. Some avocado.
But it,
some good fats in there.
It weighs heavy on you after lunch. So I'm going to say. No, so you want to know what I do in my portfolio? You really want to know what I do in my portfolio?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. 50% of what I have is in a laddered municipal bond portfolio. Most of it is Virginia paper because I like, number one, Virginia because it's one of the strongest states out there. You definitely would not want Illinois. It's skewed more to the shorter term side.
Okay.
It's a bell curve kind of thing, but skewed more to the shorter term side. And I love that part of the portfolio. It's managed by Skip Morton, who's one of our clients, and he's with RBC up in Connecticut. He's been in the business as long as I have, man. He's got some gray hair too, and he's one of the best bond managers that I know in this business. And he has a young lady working for him,
which
is the coolest part, which is what you all need to do ultimately. I'll get into what I do in a minute, but Angelica, she's just fantastic, and I deal a lot with her, and that's great for me. If anything ever happened to me and anything happened to Skip, she knows exactly what's going on. She knows how to manage portfolios. She's good friends with my daughter, and it will continue on. So that's important to have that younger side to it. And I think when you have the younger person, they should be dealing with the larger customers you have.
That's interesting.
I feel that that's the way it should be. You know, because they're ultimately going to be the ones who handle that portfolio.
That's an interesting concept.
But it's a municipal bond portfolio, and the income that comes in from that, we live on that. So, yes, I do get paid by NASDAQ to do this and whatnot, but that's I try to live on that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Maybe a third of what comes in. Two-thirds of it goes back in to buy more bonds.
Okay.
And then each month, or at least several times a year, there are bonds that are coming due that you know, mature at 1,000, and they're reinvested. So it doesn't make any difference to me in a laddered bond portfolio whether rates rise or whether rates go down. It doesn't matter. It's almost like you have your second house down at the beach and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they get an appraisal, and it's appraised instead of $1 million, appraised at $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So what? You're not moving out. And if it's appraised at $800,000, so what? You're not moving out. You know, so by having a laddered portfolio, you keep buying higher rates as rates rise. So it doesn't matter to me that rates go up. That's half of it.
Okay. So that's your bond piece. That's, you have someone help you out with that.
That's right. Yeah, because you have to have people who know what they're doing with these bonds, that have inventory, and they have people on the bond desk that alert them to the fact that their bonds just came in.
Mm.
We just got a piece of a person's bond. We got 100 bonds. You know, do you want to take those? You need that with the bond business. It's not the same like stock business. So the other half of the portfolio, I have split between two different brokerage firms. One is Schwab. Schwab is because I can do options at Schwab.
Mm.
I'm very aggressive, covered writer. And what I have enjoyed with options, I better turn this thing down, right? What I have enjoyed with options is the short-term nature of them. Now you have them that come in every week.
Yeah.
I try to write calls that have come due every single week. So instead of like before, years ago, we would write, let's say, a six-month call, and then in your portfolio, write a four-month call, and then write a two-month call, and then they all kind of come due, and you're just rolling the covered writing position. I'm such a firm believer in covered writing because statistically, 68% of the trades you do are going to be in the center of the bell curve. So you might as well make money on them while they're doing what I call middling. So I like to stay short-term now. Now that you have weekly options, I stay as short-term as you can because the highest probability of where a stock is likely to be over the next 5 days is where it is. You know, so I'm much more interested in the option premium in doing that. The other quarter of the portfolio, excuse me, I got some rice stuck in my throat. The other quarter of the portfolio is at folio investing or investors. You can't do options there, but they make it easy for you to use models. And I use our model page. When you go to our model page, I'll use these models. Like I mentioned the other day on the T. Rowe price model. I think you got to go to our model page and take a look at the T. Rowe price model. And it's had a great performance. They do a great job picking stocks. Then when we take their inventory and put it into our matrix and buy the top five. And great performance. So I take that model and plug it and play it. That's definitely something you want to do. I put that into the position and I wait for an email. Email comes and says there's a change. I make the change. Done. Very simple. So, three places that I primarily have my money, with the exception of real estate. I mean, I have a lot of real estate, and my wife handles all of real estate and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much. I'm pretty simple, straightforward.
So models and covered writing are the name of the game right now.
For me, yeah, they are. And I love, for those of you who are advisors out there, you need to go to the model page and start getting used to looking at these models because you can put them together in customers' portfolios and just let them run. That's the idea, is that you can, what word am I looking for, leverage your time by letting the model run itself.
Yeah, I think it adds scale to your business when you have those models. And the models, I think the first model that was published on the website was back in early 2000s with the sector rotation strategy.
2002.
Sector rotation strategy as a model. Today there's over 30 different ETF models. There's roughly that many mutual fund models, things like the T. Rowe price model, American funds model, number of models out there. And then about 50 or so individual stock models, from individual sector stock models to a yield portfolio that owns five of the strongest names that are among the highest dividend payers within the S&P 500. So there's a lot of models out there. And again, you know, the benefit of those and the reason for developing those was to help bring scale to your business. You can use these models across your book of business and mix and match as you see fit for particular clients.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense. And here's what I'd like you to do. Go to the model page and get used to it, because that's, I call it the brickyard.
Yeah.
That's where you can build the houses and investment portfolios for your customer with the bricks there. And get used to looking at it. Because if I said, where's the most important part for me? I'm going to the model page and I look at these models and I see how I can fit them together. And you know, the vision that comes in my mind is, if you've ever watched MasterChef. You ever watch MasterChef? It's one of our interns here. You have?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. Okay, now I want you to start watching it every week. Got it. When they go into the MasterChef pantry and they have a recipe they have to fill, you see them with baskets. Mm-hmm. They're all running in there. And it's the most beautiful place you can imagine. It's green, red, orange, everything you can think of that you would want is in that MasterChef pantry. And they have that basket on their arms, and they're all getting the types of fruits and vegetables and proteins and things they want to do for that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing it a different way. Mom taught them to do it this way. Dad taught them to do it this way. But what this basket is your customer's portfolio. And you're taking these models and you're putting them into this basket. And then you're going to come back to that table and you're going to build the most beautiful menu or dinner that you can from it. And I look at that and it just makes so much sense to me. And it's exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with these models, every one of them has their own chart, a Dorsey, Wright & Associates chart. Looks like a regular chart, but it's a chart of the model itself. We have some models that are combined that you can look at the chart, like PDP, SPLV, combined, where you have the low volatility Standard & Poor's attached to the PDP, and you can look at that chart in itself. So you can do everything you do on Dorsey, Wright & Associates website, but the models are auto-run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part of it.
And you can set up alerts for all those models. You can have the system, you can, up in the right-hand corner, set alerts, you'll be notified of a change. Otherwise, once you get them put together, once the meal is prepared, then you let the models run themselves.
Yeah, I've checked every single box there on the model page to alert me.
Yeah.
So every day I get changes in the models because we have so many. That's okay. I just want to be aware that Thailand had a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Malaysia had a change, or the large cap whatever had a change. Then if I'm interested in that, I want to see that change. It just alerted me to go in and take a look at it, see what came out and what went in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the way of the future. And you're going to start, and you're now starting to see articles about modeling. The news people have just caught on now that this is a very good way to go about doing things. Now you're going to start seeing articles on it. We've been doing it since 2002.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yep.
One quick thing, any more about models?
No.
One quick thing that I did want to mention that I thought was put in the bucket of interesting notable breakouts is XRT in the retail space. XRT is an ETF, it's retail stocks, but you know, with all of the news out there today on retailers and the traditional brick and mortars, and you know, they're going away, and maybe that's the case, but I tell you what, you look at some of the retailers and you look at the retail ETF and certainly the online services and all the big names in that space contribute to it, but XRT is breaking out to new highs, hitting new highs above and ahead of the market, ahead of the S&P 500. There's an article in today's Daily Equity Report, if you haven't looked at it, that discusses some of the retailers and a lot of good-looking names in the space. There's some not so good-looking names in the space, but I tell you what, you look at XRT, and that's certainly the picture of something where demand is in control of that particular sector today. Last thing, too, is another interesting note on the S&P 500. If you look across the board, the S&P 500, I think this year it's up about 4%. The index as a whole is up about 4%. There's been a lot of opportunity out there. There's a couple names that are actually up in excess of 100% this year. But at the other end of that spectrum, there's a lot of names that are down 20 and 30 and even 40% this year. LB is the worst performing stock in the S&P 500, down almost 40% on the year.
Is that Lumber Liquids?
L Brands.
L Brands, okay.
Yeah. L Brands. And I say that to say that, you know, it continues to be important to manage the positions. If you've got stocks in the portfolio, as we're going through the summer, the phones are quiet. I'm sure your clients are calling less right now as our phones are much quieter. Take the time, put all the stocks you have or your top 20 holdings into a portfolio and review those. Scroll through the thumbnail charts, and if you've got stocks in there that are breaking down, violating trend, now's the time to go in and clean up those portfolios and get rid of those weak and underperforming names and looking for other areas of opportunities, and retail might be one space to take a look at today.
So, we used to talk about spring cleaning. Now it's summer cleaning?
Sure. You could do some summer cleaning.
Just kidding, man. We think that's about it.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think so.
See you next week.